Hey everybody, and welcome to your Friday, May 23rd JumpCast, the only manga podcast that uses puppets instead of CG for its host. Joining me this week are puppeteer Greg Jan and notable midget Mike Lemieux.
Hello.
So what you're saying is I'm the one pulling the strings?
You're something marionette joke.
They pay me in bags of gold.
Like the real thrust of that joke was the Mike midget joke. Like nothing else mattered. All right, so house cleaning of any sort?
New series this week. About sumo wrestling, and the artwork in it looks kind of terrifying. Like, it's this incredibly ripped, scarred guy with a baby face thing. It's kind of weird. That's really all there is. Nothing new is getting canceled, so I don't know what's going on. Tokyo Wonder Boys must have been terrible if it got canceled that fast, but... if you guys want to see, top left corner of that image is the new thing, and that face just does not look like it belongs on that body.
I think they canceled Tokyo Wonder Boys when they did, because it hit the end of like what would be in one tankobon, and so they probably didn't want to wait to have to like print two books that are probably going to fail horribly, so they just like, okay, made enough for one book, just fucking cancel it, get it out of
here. I wonder how many people buy tankobons that for failed series.
Yeah, that they know, like, this thing has no good ending.
Yeah. They're just never going to go anywhere.
That face does not fit that body.
It's a weird, doesn't.
It's weird art in general.
Yeah.
This is like when Americans draw anime parodies, this is what it looks like.
So what you're saying is this is actually their flagship, like trying out an American drawing in Weekly Shonen Jump, and this is the one they chose?
Are you saying it looks like those How to Draw Manga books that you see in bookstores?
I mean... nothing looks that bad, but yes. Apparently, like, one guy does all of those.
I always find it weird. It's like, how to draw authentic Japanese anime by Bob Smith.
Babu Smithu.
But yeah.
Looks like Hunter x Hunter's back next week.
Yes.
Is it, like, back? Like, it's finally going...
Well, he saw that there was more Sailor Moon coming out, so he felt like he still needed to pull a little bit of his weight, so.
Maybe this is where the crossover is going to happen.
What was that Sailor Moon thing people were complaining about this week?
Oh, it's because in the original dub, they renamed the character Serena, and they're not doing that with the new series. They're keeping it as
Usagi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people are like, no, that is not the real name of the character. She is totally Serena. We are going to protest this.
So basically just a bunch of nostalgia nerds, nostalgia-ing.
Well, that's who they're selling it to, though. So I think they have a point.
I remember when Cardcaptor Sakura first came over here, they were pitching it as just calling her Nikki. And like her friend Matt, like they didn't change her friend, or didn't change back her friend's name, but after outcry, they changed her name to Sakura, but her friend was named Madison.
Yeah, instead of Tomoe.
Yeah.
Why do I remember that so easily?
It was your guys' favorite series at the time.
I didn't mind it.
I think I did enjoy it, but then when I actually got around to watching the Japanese version, that's really different.
Is it?
Like, that's like super incesty and lesbian vibes.
Whereas the American one was just like, let's go on an adventure and learn a lesson.
Like, the American one was specifically them... was it four kids, or was it like... trying to emulate four kids.
It could be, I don't know.
But they were trying to emulate the anime block that Pokemon had. And I think it even aired like right after Pokemon. And it like, so they figured, okay, this will be about capturing cards and adventure and like,
okay,
I think
like Card Captors was four kids, so.
Yeah, that was when they first started expanding out of Pokemon.
Now Nippon Ichi America has the license.
Yeah, they do anime now. It's weird.
Great. Was it actually four kids?
I think Seemingly. So. Yeah. When you go on YouTube, it has, you know, the list of things. But it's Nelvana, whatever.
Yeah, and then it was.
Oh right.
And then it was Genion after that.
That was a weird time for, because we were finally getting out of the Funimation. Funimation was emulating what Saban did, which was like censor everything. Well, and then they started getting out of that themselves eventually.
It was also the beginning of, will this play in America? No? Okay, fuck it, whatever. We're going to release the entire series over here.
Well, it's weird because,
we're out of business.
they had, there was definitely tiers of anime. Anything that made it to Toonami probably was going to do pretty well. So you didn't need to, like, hack it up as much. But
and
then,
then
everything
else to, like, oh, this is cartoons, so we have to make it for kids.
Right. Like, the if you really think about it, the way they aired Outlaw Star, even though they centered, like, complete episodes here and there, and, like, the Melfina, like, nudity, I guess.
Oh, I remember
it was
the awkward bathing suit they had to draw on her in, like, every scene.
But the fact that they aired that is crazy at that time.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that Wikipedia apparently has a list of series and films that have had a strongly localized dub.
I think my favorite was, there's a scene in Dragon Ball where they catch a fish using Bulma's panties, but obviously they can't do that in America, so what they did was they just changed it to a roll of dollar bills. Which didn't make any sense. It had no point in the story. But then they compounded that by making it so when Goku brought it up, he made a movie pun by saying, "Hey, look, a fish full of dollars."
My favorite one was when they're fighting the when Yamcha's fighting the Invisible Man. To Krillin gets the idea that they need to spray him with something, but they have nothing around. So, in the Japanese version, he like lifts up Bulma's shirt or something. So Roshi sees her boobs and nosebleeds all over the Invisible Man. And in the dub, they changed it to he takes out a can of tomato juice and cracks it open. So there's just like this really awkward, like not drawn in the style of Dragon Ball. It's just like this real quick scene of somebody opening a can of tomato juice. Just spliced right in the middle. That was always really amazing.
I've always been, I was going back and forth on the whole for Infinite Losers thing. Like, whether or not it's a good example.
I think that's kind of amazing. Like,
it's clever, but at the same time, like, I don't know. At some point, maybe that episode would have just been better left out.
But then it comes up again.
Does it?
Yeah.
When?
It totally comes up again, doesn't it?
They send the, what's it called? The Ginyu Force down there.
Yeah, it comes up multiple times.
It's not in the manga. Ever.
There's a lot that happens on Snake Road that just never, like Snake Princess.
Yeah.
Also, it comes up in GT when everyone escapes.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
GT.
The most amazing thing that I had seen done was basically Robotech period, where they took multiple different series and merged them into one.
What?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Robotech is Macross and Macross Plus and some parts of one of the movies or something like that. Yeah, here we go. It's the Super Dimension Fortress Macross, Super Dimension Cavalry Southern Cross, and Genesis Climber Mosspedia merged into a single series.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's like kind of amazing.
I think like they basically did it as like a rewrite completely.
Yeah.
Like it has nothing to do with the original Macross.
Like they have all of the, like, because, I mean, you're redubbing it, but they basically kind of, sort of followed the same thing, but, like, I finally went back and watched Macross recently, and honestly, now, this is probably nostalgia showing through, too, kind of preferred Robotech.
Like, doesn't Robotech, like, excise all the singing stuff?
It's still there, but it's not the central point.
Yeah, that's probably better, because
exactly.
Minmay was a cunt. Like, she's just the worst character I've ever seen in any anime.
I think
maybe besides Jolina Peacecraft.
I think among our circle of friends, the only time that word ever comes up is when you guys are talking about that woman.
Yeah,
specifically.
Well,
like,
it's because
ever.
Of what's his name, Sig.
Yeah, Aelis had a Sig that was like, "I'm a huge cunt" or something. Just a picture of Minmay. It's an accurate Sig.
There's a hall for.
I thought she was annoying, but I didn't think she was that bad. And I think that the decision, because if I'm not mistaken, it's the same voice actress that played the Japanese one that does the English dub too, which didn't help things.
But yeah, like the only rival to her throne is Rolina Peacecraft, which is also a terrible, terrible character.
So yeah,
Gundam Wing doesn't hold up so well anymore.
What doesn't hold up so well?
Gundam Wing.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
It's too long.
Okay.
There's like an entire first half of the series that just doesn't matter before they just go into space and start wrecking shit.
Oh, it's so emo.
Yeah. But that's what you thought anime was at the time. Everyone having all these angsty problems.
So, back to my original point, Hunter's back.
Oh yeah. Who? Right. I wonder if he's gonna like he'll ever succumb to the thing Toriyama does of going back to the old well for like Yu Yu Hakusho. Like, yeah, this is the story of the Spirit Detectives before Yusuke.
I need to go and check out that series at some point.
Yu Yu Hakusho? It was pretty good. The manga is very different from the anime.
Well, that kind of is par for the course for things from that era, it seems.
Oh, speaking of Toriyama going back to the well, did you see that he recently gave an interview and they just asked him Dragon Ball questions, so he just answered them?
Yeah, I saw that. Is it only just now that they finally gave names to 17 and 18?
Yeah, terrible names too.
Lapis and Lazuli.
Terrible.
Yep.
They're names of stones.
I feel like maybe he just thought of that on the spot.
Well, no, I'm guessing he normally does the theme thing, like, you know, the fruits and the vegetables and that sort of stuff. So maybe it's all of the androids actually, their character names are actually all minerals.
Well, don't they have blue eyes? I figured that was a reason.
Maybe. Yeah, they do.
The girl does. I don't know if the guy does or not.
Twins, so. Yeah. They're twins and it's anime, so I'm going to guess, yeah, super blue eyes.
Twins in anime basically means they're completely different looking except for the eyes.
Well, no, 17 and 18 look exactly the same.
Do they?
Yes.
They have different colored hair.
I mean, they look exactly the same because it's Toriyama.
No,
Vegeta and Goku look exactly the same.
18 is just like...
What are you talking about? Goku is much taller than Vegeta until they need to fuse.
Vegeta has a forehead, and that's basically the main difference for the face.
Oh my god. Okay, Bleach this week. There. Right. I did what none of you would do.
Can you blame us? So basically, everyone's reacting to what's happening in Kenpachi's fight right now?
Yeah. Basically, nothing happens.
So, the guy who was, what's his name?
Oh, do we want to talk about the color page or not?
It's just the girl faces.
Yeah,
the hot Nazis. One sucking on a popsicle.
In all the colors of the rainbow. What, you think that popsicle's suggestive?
Yes. Yeah. It's supposed to symbolize the hot dog.
Not the slightest.
It symbolizes a banana, which symbolizes a hot dog. Which symbolizes a popsicle. It's a very roundabout metaphor.
So, Soy Fong's vice captain, whose name I've forgotten.
Oeda? Something? Omaeda. It's right there.
Omaeda. He is apparently dealing with Quincy foot soldiers. And by the way, there's apparently Quincy foot soldiers on the ground.
It's like
did we know this?
The first time we've seen them.
First time hearing about it after like 2 days of this war.
And he's feeling that Kenpachi has some trouble, so he's gonna...
He's gonna go and help out.
And I think he has Soy Fong on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Behind him.
So she, I guess, passed out after beating that...
Robot.
The robot thing. Which has been like a day, so maybe, you know,
she's passed out.
To Soy Fong.
She's passed out after not beating the robot, and then the robot left for no reason and got killed by Juha Bak.
We have plenty of time to deal with people who did or didn't die later in this chapter.
Oh, there's plenty of that stuff.
So the foot soldiers just explode into flames, and it's revealed that Hirako and Momo were there.
Yeah, so that's Momo who's doing that with her weird kid shoot fire things.
Her her hat rack that she has.
Yeah.
And Shinji tells Momo to heal Soy Fong.
Because she's a girl.
She's a female, therefore she can do healing powers.
And they talk about Unohana like she's not dead.
They might not know.
Well, I guess so. Well, I mean, if Kenpachi came out...
You know, is a far cry from the captain of the 4th Division. We don't know who that captain is.
I thought it was Unohana.
Maybe there's somebody new.
Now it's what's his name? Hanataro. Yeah.
Well, except
I remember him.
Thing of like you have to have a Bankai to be raised to captain or something like that. So it's obviously the fourth.
You obviously didn't see the Bleach filler where he gets his Bankai.
Yeah, but the fourth captain is now.
I almost believe you. That seems like something that would happen.
What if I told you about the filler where he works in a convenience store?
I still believe you.
Okay, that one is real.
So, Omaeda is going over to Kenpachi, and Shinji's, you know, he's suggesting that that's probably a good idea. You should probably go save him, because if he's gone, we lose the war.
Like
Shinji has fought at this point, right? Who did he fight against?
He fought.
Hadnazi.
Yeah. She.
That's right.
KO'd him and was going to kill him, and then someone else showed up.
And then she got eaten by the other one.
Not Koromaru. What's his name?
Kimimaro.
Komamura.
Yeah.
Komamura. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
We're good with names.
Getting my Japanese dogs confused.
Yeah. Fucking Ken.
So yeah, if Kenpachi, like, they really push hard on the fact that Kenpachi needs to live.
I love this conversation of, like, we're all, like, jobbers who are just going to get punked, so let's go save the one guy who obviously can't lose.
So, immediately after that conversation, somebody from the rooftop is like, hey, if you guys don't save him, that'll be good for us.
So, I'm going to take you guys out.
And it's...
So let me just make sure before we proceed with this. This is Busby, right? Like,
yes.
This is not some other guy that happens to look like Busby.
Busby.
This is Busby.
Bill Busby.
God damn it.
He survived his fight. He never died.
Yeah, remember? He ran away.
Did he run away, though? Yeah, he stopped appearing at some point.
Oh,
yeah, he just left in the middle after they changed from fire versus ice theme to ice versus ice.
But no, he dropped off Rengeku, didn't he? Like, when Hitsugai was fighting Kang Du, he came with Rangiku and, like, dropped her on the floor, then left.
No, yeah, he just peaced out, and, like, we've seen him running across rooftops and stuff. He's just been running around.
Why? Like, he lost his fight, too. Why is he not also dead?
Because he needs to do this thing right now.
But Juha Bak absorbs powers from them either way.
Because he needs to do this thing right now for the story to proceed.
So anyway, he uses the Burning Finger.
Three fingers.
Is that the most that he's done now or something
the
like that?
The stinger of fingers.
God damn it, I was going to say the stinger.
So
soon he'll start using the shocker.
So
wait, no. There was nothing in between. What's it called? There was nothing in between the Hitsugaya fight and this thing.
We see him a couple times just like as reaction shots looking at things.
Yeah, but it's not like he was fighting anybody.
No. He just peaced out.
Yeah.
There's nothing there is nothing weird about him being alive, Imran.
I know
usually...
That he already had his fight, though. That's so stupid. Like, why is he getting... Why would Kubotite use an existing character when he could just make a new one?
Well, because now we get to see his true form, which will look totally different. He'll just be a giant finger.
He'll be Master Hand.
So anyway, he basically, you know, turns the ground around them to lava, and then it cuts away.
The floor is lava. That's what his imagination told him.
So, a thunderbolt goes through Soul Society, which I'm guessing is the Kenpachi fight?
Yeah, this is earlier in the Kenpachi fight, I'm guessing, when they were all attacking him.
Yeah.
Like, the big explosion in the sky has not happened yet.
So Ruki is like, I need to rush, and Beck is like, you shouldn't rush.
But Nisama.
And then can you feel that in the sky? That thing that happened already in the previous chapter?
But has not
Which
happened.
Which we don't know what it
literally
is.
Literally, like, two or three pages establishing something coming down from the sky again.
And then everybody looking at it.
I really love the image of, like, the sky opening it up because it's, like, it's such a weird transition.
It, like,
it's
puckers. Like,
yeah.
For some reason.
And actually, sorry, that's, like, five pages of... just falling from the sky.
And everyone reacting and going, so this is the Goku has arrived moment.
Yes. And
it's like,
hits Big Ben on the way down.
We usually say that as an analogy, like the Dragon Ball style moment. This is literally exactly that.
So the Hot Nazis are freaking out and then it smashes harmlessly off to the side.
Yep. Yeah. They're Big like, Ben. Wow, how did we worry about that? That guy's an idiot.
Oh,
and it turns out
Ichigo is there.
Yeah. And he's already behind them. Because turns Ichigo being faster than the enemy is like a reveal he loves to use every time. Because Goku did it. Like, Goku did it both on the Saiyan Saga and the Frieza Saga.
Yeah.
And Kubotite cannot separate Bleach from manga he's read before.
So then Ichigo kind of like makes fun of Kenpachi for being beaten up by the Hot Nazis.
And he says, I'm going to say something I never thought I'd ever say to you. I'm here to save you. So here's why this bothers me. They spent the first half of this chapter saying, if we lose Kenpachi, we've lost the war. By the way, now we have someone way stronger than Kenpachi.
Yep.
Yep, doesn't matter.
That everybody knew was on the way.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Like, just why? Why now? Why not any time prior to now or later? Like, you finally introduce Kenpachi as a, you know, a notable chess piece in this war, and then immediately go, all right, now never mind, Ichigo's here.
Hey, we saw his release.
Hey, remember that entire thing where it was a big deal because Kenpachi beat Unohana?
Remember when Yoruichi disappeared?
Who?
So the only thing that can, like, redeem this is if he gets up and they fight together.
Or he gets up and fights Ichigo and all the hot Nazis just die in the crossfire.
Okay, that would also be pretty cool.
I'd be okay with that. What I'm fully expecting to happen is that now, and I'm doing this, I'm going to say this just because of the costume, they're going to do a throwback to the Soul Society thing, and Ichigo is going to take out the hot Nazis without using his sword.
Yeah, that's absolutely going to happen.
Well,
I feel like there's a million ways Rikubo Tate to make this cool, and he's not going to do it.
So how many years has it been since we saw Ichigo?
I think we looked this up not that long ago.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
It's been like a year or more.
No, I think it was not quite a year is what it ended up
being. It was
being.
July.
About 6 months.
Was it July or something? I don't remember.
It was closer to October.
Let's go back and listen to an old episode. I think we brought a clip. Okay, you'll just insert it there.
I was kind of hoping that, like, everyone would stay quiet for like a minute. As if we were watching the clip.
And we're back.
One note, Ben Kingsley actually whispered to me in that scene.
He actually whispered to me, do you know where to get some good pizza around here? It really stuck with me through the whole filming.
Audience laughter. So yeah, it's clear that this is not like... I think a major problem with Bleach is he treats something that's super obvious as a huge moment in Revelation. So he feels like he has to go back a chapter to show it.
It's like, Ichigo is going to be coming out of the sky. Something's coming out of the sky. Who could it be?
Let's all react for 5 pages.
And like in Dragon Ball, when they did kind of the same thing, it was, you know, Nappa going to attack Goku and then he completely just walked past him sort of thing without
yeah.
him noticing. Like something was happening that demonstrated it. It's not just, oh, all of a sudden I'm here.
I didn't realize how Dragon Ball this was. With, like, the dying Kenpachi, who's basically Bleach's Piccolo.
Yeah.
Come on, Kubotite. Come the fuck on. Like, at some point, it passes homage and just becomes, I saw this cool thing once, let's do that.
You mean what? The, like, comic plagiarism? Like,
Yeah, I was gonna say, so are we gonna see this in American comics sometime soon?
Yeah.
Written by, God, what was his name?
I know, I'm trying to remember it, too.
The guy from Kiss.
Gene
Simmons' son, yeah. That was it. Okay, I'm super done with Bleach.
Right, you mean for this episode?
Sure. Sure.
Let's read about pedophiles. I mean...
So remember last week how I brought up the idea of a teacher that was, like, really into the girls?
No, I don't remember this at all.
And how that would be really creepy and, like, expose how creepy the thing is with Yui.
Like something about a double standard and
yeah. So here we get introduced to Ninjiro Fukuda, a 31-year-old teacher at Raku School. Yes, there are teachers that do not teach Raku. Though they may have only existed for this interaction with Raku.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't really recognize him until he saw him in this chapter.
True, yeah. He's self-described uninteresting.
Yes. He is another homeroom teacher in the school, but he is helping out Yui because she's new. And apparently Japan has a thing for, like, career day, where teachers consult with the students and their parents about their careers.
I mean, they're nearing the end of middle school, right? Where they're going to have to make a choice
high school.
Or no, high school. Yeah. So.
I mean, it's the same. So, like, didn't you have guidance counselors at your high school?
Yeah, but I never had, like, a mandatory meeting with them and my parents.
Well, it wasn't with the parents, but there was definitely, like, a meeting of, okay, are you planning on going to college? This is what you need to do for that.
Never really had that.
Eh. It's not that crazy an idea.
So Yui meets him in the hallway and is, like, super jazzed to be into doing this. And the first person they meet is Miyamoto, who basically talks her ear off about everything she plans to do.
She's got it down to science.
It's the most Miyamoto answer ever, and... she's got it all planned out.
Essentially, she's going to just be an English translator.
Meanwhile, the guy is thinking she'd be pretty cute without her glasses.
He's just sitting there going like, yeah, I tap that.
Yeah.
Like, not paying attention to her at all.
And then they move on to, who's after that? Marika.
Well,
with
first
her
off, we're, you know, getting that thing, and it's also, you know, he's trying to hit on on Yui, which is also kind of creepy, because yes, they're both teachers, but 1931, kind of, that's creepy anyway.
Yeah.
By the way, you said he's a teacher that doesn't teach Raku. He's the sub-homeroom teacher for Raku's class. So
he still doesn't know who Raku is, despite that?
I don't know. He's a piece of shit. He's a monster. Let's keep talking about the chapter.
I get the feeling, like, Japanese high school teachers are, like, the male ones, specifically. They tend to have, like, a very bad reputation.
Because
you look at, like, the ones that are like, okay, this teacher's actually trying, so we're going to make an entire series about him. Like, it seems like the rest of them are just kind of like, I'm here for a paycheck and fuck all of you.
And these short skirts.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Meanwhile, American side of things, we're getting less and less male teachers because, you know, they get sued.
Yeah.
So after sitting there listening to her talk, Fukuda's like, man, that sure was hard. Do you want a massage? Which, smooth operator.
Yeah, he's not very good with the women. He should know that everyone in the school is claimed already.
By the same guy.
Yep. So Marika's up next, and her career plan is she's going to marry Raku right out of high school.
And her dad thinks that's a great plan.
Yep.
He's perfectly okay with this.
He seems to be under the idea that the parents have already arranged this. Like, that they're,
yeah.
Like, everyone's cool with this.
For a second, I thought they meant he has already done this, but Marika's probably feeding him bad information.
Yeah, she's probably telling him, oh, yeah, it's cool. Their parents are already fine with this.
Yep. It'll happen eventually.
And he makes references to knowing exactly who Yui is. And Fukuda is totally lost.
Yeah. And Fukuda points out that Marika's grades are not that good. So she might not even graduate. Which her father gets angry and saying, like, what do you mean? What bearing does that have on her life plan?
No, he doesn't say, what do you mean? He says, what do ye mean?
I'm not acknowledging that.
Ye.
Because he also breaks into the same accent that Marika does.
And Marika says, like, it doesn't matter if I don't graduate. I'll just, you know, stay around for another year or get home tutoring or whatever. And Yui's like, oh, then I get to come over every day.
Yeah, I'll be Raku's mistress. It'll be lots of fun.
And she gets mad.
She hates Yui. I love this just antagonistic relationship. This one-sided antagonist relationship.
I mean, I was hoping there'd be more to it, but she seems to just hate Yui because, like, her and Raku are so close and she remembers everything from the day.
Yeah, I was hoping there was going to be some dark secret.
So Sugumi shows up.
Could be, but yeah.
Sugumi comes in, and her parent, quote-unquote, is Claude.
Yeah.
And Sugumi's like,
doesn't know that she's female, right?
I'm pretty sure he would know at this point.
I mean, I know she is wearing a bow, but yeah.
I think there was like a thing where he says Kirasaki-san's a girl. And Claude does not seem to react to that part.
Okay.
So, I would guess he knows. So anyway, her life plan is whatever Chitoge decides.
Well, Kirasaki is Chitoge, not Sugumi.
Oh, that's right. That makes sense. So, maybe he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So, Claude gets explained
the whole...
Claude is,
once more, perfectly fine with Sugumi's plan.
Well, he gets explained that Yui is the head of the Chinese mafia. He's like, oh, okay.
Long time no see.
So, and Claude is also kind of pissed off at the idea that Chitoge might marry Raku.
Yeah, he pulls a gun on Fukuda for mentioning it.
Yeah. And Sugumi starts thinking of fantasies of what if she lived with Raku and Chitoge went out and she was the other woman.
Yes, what would happen?
That seems to be her repeated fantasy as being the other woman.
She has self-esteem issues.
Yeah.
She is cool with being number two.
So she freaks out and takes laps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Claude is proud of her youthful...
But, you know, the main thing is that her grades are pretty good. She can go pretty much anywhere she wants, which is, you know, good because she can follow Chitoge.
So Onodera has no idea what she would do.
Onodera's an idiot.
scumbag teacher is like thinking, I'd totally tap that.
Because he's a scumbag.
And then
Onodera's mom's basically saying, oh, you know what we can do? You can just work at my shop and bring Raku, because, you know, he makes good, he's a good cook. He could do real good in our workplace. So you need to, you know, lock that down.
Yeah.
So basically what we're learning here is that everyone has terrible family problems.
That can all be solved by Raku?
Yes. Raku's dick, apparently, will solve all these issues. So she wants to know if, like, maybe Onodera can learn, like, the art of seduction from school.
She asks Fukuda if he knows of any schools.
He might. You never know.
So next up is Chitoge, who has also not really thought about her future.
Beyond Raku.
Yeah.
I don't really know if she's thought about that either, but...
Well, she's thinking about, like, she's thinking white girl post-graduation plans, like, maybe I'll go to Europe.
And there are, like, two girls in my class going to Europe post-graduation.
Or that she'll go on an international
ramen
trip.
All over the world, and that sort of stuff.
I do like the character art of her, like, deciding on things. It's cute.
Yeah. Now, her dad's actually got a somewhat mature thing, basically saying, like, I don't want her to, you know, get into the family business, so to speak. So, whatever she wants.
Makes allusions to violence that alarm Fukuda.
Yeah, or saying that, you know, maybe she'll go work with her mom, and then mentions that, oh yeah, her mom's the CEO of, like, a huge multinational corporation that runs everything.
Fukuda recognizes the name.
He's like, oh, yes, nepotism, that's a great idea.
And then her dad suggests that she could be a movie star or an idol.
Which she totally could.
Yeah.
Well, success because level depends, you know, because, well, I guess with idol, the skills for acting are not nearly as necessary.
But and then Hollywood he mentions star, maybe Hollywood you could star. Just marry Raku.
Yeah.
Their relationship is pretty funny, though. I enjoy their interactions.
They're probably the healthiest parent-child relationship in the series.
Yeah. Their section ends with sparkles and happiness, unlike every single other one so far.
And then finally they meet Raku.
Yeah, who actually, you know, does have something of a plan.
He is aspiring for mediocrity, which Japan. So.
Yeah, it's not terribly ambitious, but he actually has a plan, which puts him ahead of all of the girls.
He has mentioned before of being wanting to be a civil servant. So
he just get go to university, then become a civil servant, then live out a struggling life.
Yep.
And our teacher hates him because the girls.
In fairness, everyone should hate him, but teacher hates him for weird reasons.
Yes.
Or dirty reasons, I guess.
Raku's dad also supports this plan, thinking that if he fails, he can always fall back on the family business. Which is good.
Yeah, and Raku points out he's not going to fail.
They also seem to have a pretty healthy relationship.
And then Yui mentions, just that we don't really see their interactions that much.
Well, he wants him to become a crime boss. So there's that part. Yeah.
And
so Yui mentions that, like,
for him.
Yeah, well, if he fails the exam, then she can become his wife, and there's that option too.
I also
which,
like this, I'll be your bride and support you, which, you know, you think about it that way, is she'll be the head of their crime family, and he'll just be the stay-at-home dad.
Which, if you're another teacher in the room, and a teacher says that,
yeah.
Should that not send off, like, every possible alarm? Well, I suppose if you're sitting there jacking off about all the other girls, then maybe you're not that weirded out by it.
But that's still just like, that's creepy.
I would be pulling out my phone and 9-1.
Let me record this conversation. Can you speak into this wire in my shirt right now?
I do like how Raku's dad is also intensely freaked out by this.
I don't think he's freaked out. He seems to be like, hey, that's a good idea.
Like,
nah, like the next page, his face is kind of like, you know.
No, he has a smile.
Oh, yeah, but then he says, that's a good idea. You're not related by blood after all, so it's all right.
Whereas Fukuda wants to, like, kill himself after hearing that.
Yeah.
Like, even the chick that he thought he had a chance with wants to go with Raku.
So he has a soliloquy after that while smoking about just, there are two kinds of people in this world, the ones who are popular and the ones that aren't, and he is the kind that isn't.
Yeah. And so, you know, then Raku goes to start heading out, and for whatever reason, everybody else has decided to stand around and wait.
And not talk to each other, just be in four distinct groups.
And then Marika is herself and starts everything.
Just, you know,
tackle hugs him.
And then
everybody freaks out.
some nisekoi is happening downstairs, and Fukuda just sighs.
So I desperately want Fukuda to become an antagonist. Just actively sabotage Raku.
You want him to, you know, just... Next chapter, he goes and reports to the school of what happened, so then he switches classes with Yui or something like that.
Or something, yeah, or just like, okay, I need all these girls to get out of this classroom.
See, I was thinking of, when you said just full-on antagonist, I was thinking of Raku, like, getting on his bike and then being like, huh, my brake line was cut. Well, that was sure would have been bad if I got on that bike.
I got amnesia again. But yeah, this is a weird navel-gazing nisekoi chapter. Like, they totally recognize how really fucked up the situation is, but nobody has a problem with it.
Well, yeah, everyone else around is just
they're
terrible.
All okay with it because manga.
I don't know what more to say about this.
Yeah.
This was a nisekoi chapter.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think next chapter is going to be?
We're being really introspective lately, so...
Like, do you think Naoshi Kon, like, recognizes, like, what are you people doing liking this?
Yeah, like, he's just gonna, like, it's been going he's just on for so long.
I'm so tired. Make it stop. So, nisekoi, the anime is ending soon, right?
Yeah. I think it's only got, like, one more episode or something.
This chapter makes reference to the climax of the series.
Do you think they're going to wait another season, then bring it back?
I think they'll do what they usually do with these kind of animes, and you'll have, like, nisekoi again, you know, get
them
out.
Yeah, like a half year or a year break and come back.
Because they usually do the thing where, like, a series will run, and then they'll just bring it back with a subtitle or something tacked on the end and just keep going.
I guess we'll find out exactly how true all of those "it's really popular" statements were in terms of whether it comes back or not.
I've heard it's a good anime, because it's the good part of the series.
So I just thought the best last panel possible for this would have been, like, it closes in on Fukuda's collar and, like, you see a key dangling by a necklace.
That would have been good.
And then it's just, maybe someday I'll find him.
My son, somewhere
out
there.
Like, remember when I said, like, would you really be able to go through with it if you found out who you made the promise with?
Like, that would be such a great twist if it turns out, like, Raku's father was actually the one who did the pendant thing. And, like, this, it had nothing to do with little girls. It was just, like, I wanted my son to have this.
Yeah, it's an heirloom. There's nothing in it.
Yeah, like, he was adopted by the Yakuza.
Turns out it's not actually a locket at all. It's just a fixed piece that looks like that.
Oh god, he was adopted by the Yakuza from the American Mafia. Uh-oh.
So it turns out he's actually the brother of one of them.
Your real name is Rick. And inside the locket just has stuff and things.
So yeah, I'm going to guess that next chapter is a one-off focusing on one of the girls.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to bet Tachibana.
I went by a store the other day, Imran, that they had, like, a sidewalk chalk sign that said, "We have stuff and things."
There's a lot of those in Georgia.
I bet.
For obvious reasons.
I'm surprised you don't just have, like, a secondhand store just called Stuff and Things.
I'm sure there is somewhere. Just repurpose itself as a Walking Dead store at some point.
Oh, if we didn't say Walking Dead, I was going to say this is totally lost on Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's blowing past me, but whatever.
Okay, so Naruto. Moon!
So Kishimoto at some point, like, last week or the week before, discovered you can, like, duplicate a layer in Photoshop and then, like, move it up slightly.
And it looks like stuff's shaking.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like it was scanned really poorly.
Because he did it last week, too. It's like, that's a really off-putting effect. But Naruto is one of the, it's like, I think it was the first Jump manga that was done all digitally.
Yeah, you could tell, because all of a sudden everyone just had white or black hair.
Yeah.
You just, like, gave up on tones, pretty much.
And,
which is a shame, because it was much nicer when they did all those tones.
You can do tones
or
on
when did tones, yeah.
Theater. Anyway, so obviously Yamato is fighting the Kages.
Yes, and, you know, the Zetsu that's around him or whatever it is like, oh, I won't need this guy anymore.
I'm peacing out.
Yep. Because the moon.
Moon.
Okay, now we have that out of the way.
Yes. And well done, they all see a bunch of meteorites happening, and then they're like, wait a second, we probably should have been paying attention to that fight. By the way, what happened to all the Ten Tails monsters?
Everybody else was fighting them. something.
But are they? Like, what are those guys really doing? Like, either they're fighting the Ten-Tails monsters or nothing's happening at all.
Yeah, let's go with nothing.
I thought the last time we saw people, they were all just, like, standing around going like, hey, Naruto's going on.
Yeah, I guess they took care of them or something like that.
So they notice that, like, yeah, there must be stuff going on in that fight across the way.
Yeah, oh, look, there's meteors coming, you know, into the ground.
And some bad shit's going down over there. Let's just stay over here.
Let's all look at the moon first.
Something has to be, you know, going bad, because all that chakra that Naruto gave us is gone now. And then, you know, Kiba decides to do that, what, you know, he wants to become the Hokage, and he does the smart thing and tells everybody to look at the moon.
In fairness, the other Hokages are doing that too.
Yeah.
So he fits right in there.
Oh my god, it's that thing that's going to hypnotize you if you look at it. Everybody look. Oh no, it hypnotized us.
It turns out you don't actually have to look at the moon. But
you're just like basking in the light or whatever. Still though, like, it's like, hey look, it's Medusa.
So Sasuke is the only one who realizes what's happening.
Well, and you know, and Naruto decides he's going to take care of all the meteorites and, you know.
With like a giant cluster of Rasengans.
Yeah.
Basically, so yeah, you have to be basked in light to get hypnotized, and he's covered by the meteors, and before the meteors can, you know, before their cover is gone, Sasuke rushes in.
Yeah, and what's it called? And, you know, in the midst of everything, Ten-Ten drops the plot device no jutsu.
Right? It's like, oh man, I dropped that. Oh no, I'm hypnotized now. It's a good thing.
And it rolled open to show everybody what's inside.
It's a good thing that's on the ground right here because someone might need to use it. Okay.
It specifically says like what it's for. It's like, oh, if only I could figure out how to use these, then we would be able to seal Madara away.
If only we were all like psychically linked and I could just tell the Kages that I have this or something. Oh well.
That could be a really useful thing.
If only we were doing that and it
she needs somebody from Kumogakure. The Mist Village to actually use it, which there's no one of that nature around anymore.
Naruto has god powers; he can do anything now.
I mean, it's gonna be like something like Minato, like, oh yeah, I Kushina was from Mist Village, and
well, she was from the world.
Yeah, Village, so she taught me how to use this stuff.
Sure,
which makes sense because she had the Kyuubi, so
in his blood.
Yeah.
But so, anyway, there is one cool panel with, like, Kaguya with the moon being her forehead sort of thing.
So yeah, super evil now. We can put that to bed.
Yeah, the moon is, like, supposed to be the body of the Ten Tails or something like that, right?
Yeah, there was something about that.
Is this the Final Fantasy VIII plot twist where the moon is monsters?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just kind of, like, wondering if maybe it's that, like, Kaguya became the Ten Tails or something like that?
Maybe, because we don't
like
know what happened to her.
Weird
and
thing like that.
What's the whole thing? Like, in the legend, they aren't sure if she was a monster or a god or something.
I'm betting that the sage killed her. Like, had to kill her.
Maybe.
Because
he kind of didn't seem to know what the deal was either, though.
Yeah, true. But so he was her son, so.
So then we start seeing people hypnotized by the moon, which is hilarious to me because it looks like Looney Tunes.
It looks like they had the Rinnegan, which, like, the first panel I see of Sai with that, I was like, wait a second, what?
Well, yeah, no, that's what I'm assuming, is that it's basically, it looks like everybody has the Rinnegan.
Yeah, but when I see it, I'm picturing, like, the Looney Tunes thing when people were
hypnotized.
And it was just, like, you know, like, the circles that were constantly shrinking into the pupils.
Yeah.
I like Orochimaru, because he looks positively dumbstruck.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the people who are brought back from the dead don't get hypnotized.
Yeah.
I like how B's hypnotized, but are... Is B hypnotized? Because you can't really see his eyes.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that they established that B, you know, severed one of his tentacle things again and is still alive. So
yeah.
That's how he got away with that.
Also, B's here.
Gaara and Rock Lee have dropped to their knees, and they're also doing the same, like, elliptical thing that I guess B's doing.
I think B is hypnotized. There's no reason to think he's not. Unless sunglasses.
Sunglasses protect him from... That would be a cool twist.
Anyway, they go and wake up all the feudal lords.
You've been playing Mahjong all night.
Poker.
And, you know, it just shows that everybody is, you know, kids and cats and... Literally everything is hypnotized.
And then Madara uses the jutsu to revive the world tree.
And it just basically makes food out of everybody who's standing around.
they all kind of come.
It turns them into the Matrix.
They seem to be self-aware, though.
Yeah.
Because Hinata is thinking she can't move her body and cries out for Naruto, who for some reason hears this.
Well, he's God.
Okay.
He can hear all the prayers of all the little boys.
And he starts to run out, and Sasuke grabs him by the arm and explains, you know, this whole thing is, like, if you step out in the light, you're going to also get stuck. And yeah. you're protected by Susanoo now. Then he says possibly the funniest line of the entire chapter. If either you or I get defeated, that's the end of it. And Sakura's right there.
In the panel.
Just, it is the, like, most blatant Sakura is useless thing ever.
Like, Kakashi, you can kind of see he's the older generation. He doesn't have his eye anymore. Yeah, he knows he's not going to win this war. Sakura has been convinced that she can do something.
She has her dot activated, standing right there in Super Saiyan mode.
Like, she looks so dumbfounded. Like, I wonder what Sasuke meant by that.
And what's really depressing right now is that, so I still, you know, record Toonami, and I don't really watch the episodes, but I fast forward and then, like, actually watch the interesting parts. But it's right in the middle of, Sakura's fight right now against Sasori, which is, like, you know, her prime moment early after the time skip. And
like, that was,
he
was
so
very,
good.
It was a concerted effort to, like, reestablish her as a character that was equally worthy of Naruto and Sasuke.
It was interesting, and it was well done, and just, ugh.
You mean the fight where she didn't do anything and someone else controlled her every actions?
Well, no, she'd but not the entire thing. She actually, like, there's other parts to that fight other than that. It's also not being controlled by it. It's kind of like guidance sort of things. Like, she can feel it. You know,
because that was back at the time when they were trying to establish the Sanin parallel. And Kishimoto abandoned that hard. Like, after a certain point, he just did not care about that parallel at all.
I think I made the joke to you, Imran, that they're going to use Sakura to test if the light's gone and just, like, throw her out by the tree and be like, nope.
Yeah. I just pictured her saying teamwork really loud and then jumping out on her own. Because that's the thing that got me last chapter, is that they all established that they can do this as a team. And without saying anything to anybody, she just jumped at Madara.
Well, obviously she assumed that they were going to follow her lead.
Instead, they just watched as she got stabbed. And then, like, tried to paw at his face.
So, obviously Yamato undoes his mask and reveals his face.
Well, except that it's not Yamato doing that, it's the, like, Zetsu that had possessed him.
Spitting him out.
Third Hokage is like, hey, Yamato. And fourth Hokage has just sort of been like, I have no arms.
Yeah, well, and I just realized what ended up happening was, if you recall, what we had been wondering where he was, and it was he took the hit from those different balls, then teleported far enough away that Madara couldn't control them, so he basically went as far as he possibly could.
Which seems to be the Leaf Village.
Yeah, which is pretty far away from where they were at.
One detail I want to say that, like, is the most amazing thing ever is that Force coat fell off because he has no arms to keep it in.
Okay, I didn't realize that's why his coat came off. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that.
So the tree stretched all the way to Konoha.
It's all over the world and has absorbed everybody.
Yeah, yep. Like, everybody's in cocoons, and...
So here's what I want to happen. I want everyone to be having their own individual dream world while they're being slowly sucked to death, and Naruto has to, like, leap from person to person and, like, wake them up.
Hoping each time that the next leap will be his last.
Or, you know, just, like, he'll get the most important people. And
yeah, like, so basically you're hoping for the Gurren Lagann.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that Gurren Lagann thing, or like Justice League or something like that. That would be so cool. Like, I want to see, like, Hinata's dream world where she's married to Naruto, or like...
I was going
to
say Hinata's dream world where Neji's alive and like, yeah, it's fine. Just let Neji die. Come on.
Like, wouldn't that be like a cool setup to a chapter where like it looks like a time skip, but it's like suddenly all of a sudden you see Neji as like a groomsman?
Yeah.
That would be neat. Like, I am now hoping for that, and I'm going to be disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Yeah. But it would have been so cool. Instead, what's going to happen is that the Hokages are going to have some sort of Ocean's 11 plan with that, what do you call it? The QB thing.
The seal.
Yeah, with the chakra the seal absorbing things.
Which, why is that in a scroll now? Wasn't that just like straight up items?
They were items, but 1010 is the weapons master, so she stored them in the scroll.
Remember that one time that she had the giant scroll?
Forgot what her abilities were.
You don't remember the fighting games where that's like her only thing is she has a giant scroll that shoots weapons out of it?
I remember that she had like projectiles, and that was her main thing.
She made like a tornado of swords.
Who beat her? Temari? Yeah. And that was the last time she did anything ever.
Like easily. Yeah, she just like exactly. waved fan and
That really sucked for her. Like if she went up against somebody else, maybe if she went up against Kin.
No, that was the entire Chunin exam was if you had gone up against anyone else, you would have won. But you somehow everyone was paired up against their perfect the perfect downfall.
Yep,
like Sakura and Ino got put together. It's like, why did you do this? I don't know. I thought it would be dramatic.
Well, it was the computer that chose, but yeah.
Like, here's two Byakugan users against each other.
I like to think that like Hinata's dad like slipped the guy $5.
Like, I had this thing to tell Neji, it's not going to work out unless we do like this exact process of things. So we need to go get my daughter beat up first.
I can just picture Hisagi like picking Hinata up and like, you know, berating Neji and then walking out the door and being like, shit, that's right, his dad. Ah, that would have been the perfect time.
I gotta wait till he loses, I guess.
It'd be really awkward to walk back in and tell him, I already made a big exit.
I'm a Hyuga. I don't go back into rooms.
I'll tell him next time.
It's already done. You know, just drop the mic and keep going.
Because microphones is a thing they had. That was the
moment
of like, yeah, they had that weird confluence of technology then. Like, Anko had a TV and a VCR. Hey, what happened to Anko?
She's still
probably
in a cave?
Still, yeah. I feel like someone like came across Anko at one point and it's like, hey, Anko's body. Oh, something else is going on.
They were announcing new characters for the new Naruto game, and like Iruka made it in, but Anko has yet to make it in.
How is she not a more popular character? She's got big boobs and wears a see-through shirt.
Because she hasn't been in the manga for God knows how long.
Again, she has big boobs.
I mean, yeah, but so does Tsunade. Like, they immediately introduced Tsunade after Anko was done.
maybe it's because Anko didn't catch on and Kishimoto was just like, okay, how about this?
I finally cracked this manga.
How big do you gotta go?
I figured out how to get people interested in the female characters.
I've got like six other designs, each more ridiculous than the last.
Mizukage was his trump card that he just never bothered to use.
Until the very end.
Yeah. So yeah, I like the imagery at the end of the tree spreading into Konoha. Like, that's a good way to make it hit home.
Yeah. I
bet Forth has to blow up his own head.
Oh, you mean on the...
the Hokage Mountain.
I was just picturing, like, a body running around with legs and no arms.
This is best falls
So now
off.
You're hoping that it's the Forth who ends up finding the scroll? Because he can't use it because he doesn't have hands.
I think it's gonna have to be the Forth because like it only he's the only one that makes sense that can use it.
Yeah. Well, if he has no hands to make seals to get the weapons back out, but aside from
Someone's,
that
yeah. All the Hokages are gonna have to work together somehow. I really do hope it's some Ocean's 11 shit.
I don't think it's gonna be Ocean's 11. I mean, it's not gonna be that complex.
I mean, all of them like getting together and making a plan or something like that would be cool.
And we walk right out the front door.
We're gonna steal that scroll, and like, there's gonna be picture-in-picture showing like, how they do it. All right.
But then it's gonna look like the plan failed, and then it's gonna cut back, and you find out it actually worked.
Yeah, Madara's gonna be like, "I've had the scroll the entire time," and then opens up the scroll and just like say, "Like fuck you."
This is a dick butt.
Yeah, dick butt. I don't know why I found that so funny, but okay, we gotta move on.
On to Assassination Classroom.
Yes, thank you for reminding me, because I went to One Piece instead.
I have a tab open of an old chapter in place.
It came out when we had already started the call, but before we started recording.
Yeah. So, Kimura Masayoshi, who is one of the students in class, but I don't think has a particular gimmick.
There has not been extended interactions with him, ever.
Yeah.
So he's at the local neighborhood clinic, and his name is about to be called. And apparently, this is one of the quirks of the Japanese language. His name, Masayoshi, can be read as Justice.
Yeah.
And his parents apparently decided specifically to, you know, do it out of warrior's compassion.
Yeah. Because they were police officers. Yeah. And they think Justice was an awesome name. It is a pretty cool name.
That is not bad as those sort of name things go.
So I guess if you're trying to, like, you know, lay low and not, you're just a kid who doesn't want any attention, The second anyone calls your name and everyone like looks behind them like, who the fuck is named Justice?
I thought it was interesting, though, that like you legally set the reading of the kanji because it can be read different ways.
Yeah. So like he was said during his school ceremony and he got really embarrassed by it. And then like every time he complains to his parents, they get really pissed off. Like, how could you not like the name Justice?
I'm with the parents here.
So Kirara tries to cheer him up. That's the girl from, I'm blanking on his name.
Terasaka's group.
Yeah. And she points out that Kirara is a really cute name and she does not fit that at all.
That her mother is like a fairy fan.
I think she is very cute, obviously, right?
She looks like a member of the Addams Family.
Wednesday Addams?
Sure.
Not really, but sure.
So her mom's kind of ghoulish too, and even though she likes cute things, she gets into that same, like, angry look face. So this is one of my favorite panels ever, of Karma just sort of showing up and being like, that must be rough having weird names. Everyone looks at him like, what?
And then he's just like, yeah, mine's cool.
Yeah, my parents passed it down. They're weird.
Karma is a really cool name.
It is. And Kuro-sensei comes in. It's like, yeah, my name's really... I have grievance with my name.
And then they ask if he doesn't like the name Kaona gave him. And no, it's that Karasuma and Bitch-sensei do not call him Kuro-sensei ever.
Well, of course
ever.
Not, because, you know, they wouldn't call him... it's unkillable teacher, right?
Yeah. Or, yeah, something like that. Immortal teacher, I don't know.
They don't think it's proper for an adult to say that.
Yeah.
Because it's a pun.
And so
they come up with the idea of, why not use code names instead? Because, like, those hitmen did, they'd be kind of cool.
Like Smog, Grip, and Gastro.
Yeah. And I do like that panel of them. Looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all training for, like, their own naming sense later, so they're going to give each other nicknames.
Yeah, so, you know, comes up with the worst idea ever with have your classmates
come
up with the names, and
Kuro-sensei
will pull one out at random.
This is genuine advice. Do not ever do this with your friends, or also do not ever try to impersonate a friend. It will literally never work out.
We should do this with our friends.
Yeah, we're going to do that after this is done.
Yeah.
So he says the whole day using the real name is prohibited, and that everyone has to use each other's nicknames. So what was it, Sugino is up first, and he's Baseball Freak.
Yeah.
And the art guy is named Artsy Beanpole.
And Straight Lace is near the Long Pine Tree, and Straight Lace is, the Sugino lookalike. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, this is like really where we need to pull out the wiki so we have the names.
And well, the female sniper is named Sundere Sniper.
Which makes me like her more.
It's like poor committee member.
And then Karasuma goes blasting by Mehara, who he calls womanizing bastard guy. And I just love the increasingly passive-aggressive names from here on out.
Yes. The bug girl is Flouncy Stag Beetle.
There's the guy and Mushroom Director is, what's his name?
The guy with the bowl cut that made the movie. The
Porn Kid is Home Base.
Well, that's not Porn Kid.
Isn't it?
No, it's the guy that owns the motorcycle shop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah. Etona is Rolling Riser, which
Porn
I don't get.
Not terrible.
Porn Kid is Lufa or something. I don't know. Yeah, Rolling Riser. I think that might be a reference to his vehicles that he's making.
Maybe. Yeah. So Takaoka manages to get a... not Takaoka. Terasaka.
Yeah.
Manages to get a shot on Karasuma. And they reveal his nickname is Pseudo Takaoka.
Yeah, which is great. Okuda is Poison Glasses and Kayano is Forever Zero, which is
which is amazing.
That was the first one that made me start laughing aloud.
Which is my favorite one for the next two panels.
Megu's is Stern Lecture, which is pretty good.
Ryo's is Gyaru English, which I don't get it.
I'm assuming that that's one of those like phrases for a type of person, Gyaru.
Like, oh, so she's like English freak or something like that. Because she was really good at English.
Yeah,
you know, that might
she
be like
Catcher in the Rhine.
The Japanese version of a weeaboo or something.
And the best one possibly ever.
Yeah, this is the most meta thing ever, and I love it.
Yes, Nagisa is gender.
Just gender.
Oh.
I wonder who made Nagisa's name, or was it all just unanimous? Like, yeah, Nagisa's gender.
Well, I'm sure that most of them were various types having to do with the cross-dressing, but, yeah.
So, oh, no, that's porn guy that we see. His name is called End of Perversion.
And the manga girl who really liked Shonen Jump, is her name is, this manga is awesome.
Half so, middle two, I'm not sure, it is karma.
Yeah,
right?
I don't get karmas. Maybe it's like a Japanese pun somewhere or something. I really like the other sniper, the male sniper, is adult game protagonist. Because yeah. His eyes, or his hair is covering his eyes.
Like H-game protagonists.
Yeah. Because they want the player to identify.
And he takes a shot and just barely misses Karasuma, who holds up a piece of wood to block it, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, so he's like, always assume that the target is vigilant of your shooting, and, you know, he just kind of gestures behind him, and drops out of the tree.
Yeah, he was just the distraction. Justice drops down and...
with, like, John Woo-style guns.
And shoots Karasuma several times in the back.
Yeah, which is a really cool panel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Koro-sensei's like, how did everyone enjoy having nicknames? Cut to...
There's like, that was kind of awful.
So the best one of the, like, the students commiserating down here is that one of the girls' nickname was Ponytail and Breasts.
One of the girls that we haven't seen much of.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so like, I was repeatedly called Amazing Monkey.
They're all just like crying.
And Justice wants to know, why did he keep his real name? And Koro-sensei's like, well, that was a really cool moment, wasn't it? Like, the Justice is super appropriate for it.
You should like your name.
And he points out that if Justice were to kill him, it would play really good in the papers.
Because Justice wins.
Yeah.
Beats a monster.
He saved the world.
So he held this entire group thing just for, like, the lesson about that names don't make who you are.
Yeah. And it's what you do that defines who you are.
Yeah.
And then Koro-sensei decides he's going to also have a code name.
And it is the Imperial Prince of Fate of the Eternal Wind.
And everyone starts shooting at him and throwing pop cans, and they decide to call him Stupid Pervert Chicken Octopus.
That seems like an appropriate name for him.
For one day.
Yes.
This was... fantastic chapter.
Yeah. It started great. Off a little weird.
It was
then,
weird.
Like,
it's like, okay, so we're gonna get a chapter about this dude's name. Like, that's not gonna be very interesting.
And then it became something amazing.
Oh, Nagisa's nickname was gender.
It was so self-aware. It was really.
I was expecting Nagisa's to be like serial killer or psychopath or something like that.
Yeah.
I bet there's gonna be like one thing they pull off on this for the next chapter. Like, it's going to be like, oh, and since Koro-sensei was called Chicken, Chihiro was able to get to Nagisa.
Yeah, just like off-panel in the last one, you see just Chihiro grabbing Nagisa and walking away. And that's like, what's your name? Gender. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah. What a good chapter.
Okay, aside from Nagisa, what were you guys' favorite names?
Adult game protagonist is pretty good.
Forever Zero.
Forever Zero was kind of amazing.
Because when they say it, she looks like so hurt. For a second.
Yes.
Yeah. It's such a good lesson of why you should not let people give you nicknames.
Pseudo Takaoka was pretty good too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because it had been so many weeks since we had had a new one, I was curious how far behind it got. And so this was actually from 1 month ago now. So there's three more chapters more recent than this one.
Maybe they just got caught up on this.
Trying to figure out how to translate the name so they made sense.
I do like the Karma one. It's just like, I don't know. It's something.
Yeah, like that was when we're like, we can't figure this out. It's not happening. Excellent translation overall, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gender. Game protagonist.
All right. One Piece?
Now on to One Piece. Where we get
Which
Heracles.
Was also an incredible chapter.
Heracles on a white horse.
Do you guys think any of these, like, the time skip interval stuff is ever going to, like...
matter?
Yeah, like, in a very significant way.
It seems to matter as much as, like, the dude in the treasure chest is that it's just like a fun thing to call back to sometimes.
But like Robin recognized Sabo, and they apparently had a discussion about Luffy.
That one might have more play, I think, on the story.
Yeah,
but, like,
but I don't think that.
Like, do you think
the
like Harry
Fraser
will ever
kind
come
of
back?
Like, okay, and now the table is set up differently.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna go to like the Cloud where Nami trained or anything. Like that stuff was just for training purposes.
Or like Chopper's village that he was taking care of. That.
Or Heracles.
Yeah.
You know, it might come back like in the final war thing that people show up.
Yeah.
And you know them, but that's about it.
I do like that the pen name for the person that wrote in was Nota Skywalker. Fucking nerds.
So anyway,
when we came
Luffy
back last week,
laughing at Pika's voice.
Still.
Yes.
I like to imagine this has been going on like the entire time that we've been waiting for this chapter.
And everyone's like warning him, like, "Hey, don't do that. If you do that, he's going to go crazy and destroy the island." Is it me, or is this like a little Attack on Titan inspired?
He's like way bigger than the Titans are.
But like the shading and like that, it's even with the biggest people, he seemed a little. I don't know.
I think
it just reminds me of it.
Shading is more to just like show the scale of this. Is it? I don't
and
know.
And also that because he's made of rock or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's basically destroying the entire city, and everyone's running for their lives.
Yeah,
they're like,
Mach
you know,
is there.
There is no way that we can handle this sort of thing. But
and Zoro, Luffy, and Law are running, and Zoro's like, "Hey, stop egging him on," but he's laughing while saying it.
Yeah. And Law is the best straight man this chapter, and is just basically yelling at them.
Like, what are you guys doing? Stop.
And to be fair, like, I mean,
egging on
either
the
Luffy
200
or
foot.
Zoro could totally have, you know, cut off that hand or punched it or something, you know?
So Pika destroys like 3 city blocks with one punch.
And they go flying and land over close to the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Where Cavendish is.
Cabbage. And Luffy's happy to see him, and Cavendish is not as happy to see Luffy, Zoro, and Law in one place.
Yeah, and you know, he doesn't attack Zoro or Luffy, but immediately attacks Law.
I like that he slices where Law's head was, like he was just going to decapitate him with one blow.
And I like how Luffy refers to him as, like, this guy is going to be one of my crew. And Law just, you know, yells at him.
And Cavendish explains that, like, he's not going after Luffy anymore because God Usopp saved him.
Yeah.
Which is the best thing. That everybody is referring to him as God Usopp.
And Luffy thinks, hey, it's pretty cool that one of my crew did something so awesome.
And then in a little weird aside thing, Cavendish found Law's hat and tried.
Which sets up a good sight gag of he stabs his sword through Law's hat and gives it back to Law to put on immediately.
I don't think he stabbed his sword through it. I think he's just holding a sword.
He's offering to put the hat on for Law, and the thing is he's going to cut off his head while he's doing it.
Yeah,
I thought he was like, you know, you put this on and the sword will go through your head.
No.
No. It was kind of like, stick out your neck a little bit so I can, you know, cut it off.
Ah.
Yeah, so Law gets his hat back.
And Cavendish, you know, in order to repay his debt, is going to kill Doflamingo for him.
I guess I can shut down my Is Law's Hat Alive?
How do we know it's the same hat?
Well, because Shanks gave it to him.
Ah.
Old fluffy hat Shanks.
So, yeah, Cavendish is going to go after Doflamingo, and Luffy's like, hell no.
That's my guy. Yeah. I, you know, have to do it to pay back for that bento that I got earlier.
I called dibs, double stamps, you know, erases.
And Cavendish will not have this because the person that beats Doflamingo is going to be incredibly popular.
Super popular.
And then suddenly the Hoppo Navy show up.
Yes. Don Chinjiao and his sons.
Yeah. And they're there to help Luffy and defeat Doflamingo.
Yes, and Luffy, you know, starts to run away, and, you know, Zoro's just commenting, like, you made a bunch of weird friends, and you made a bunch of new weird friends, and Luffy's like, yeah, I was up to my armpits, weirdos.
Yeah, it was really boring for a while, but I guess it's playing dividends now. I don't know.
So, Don Chinjiao says that as payment to Luffy and God Usopp, he's going to go kill Doflamingo.
And Luffy's once more mad about this, and then, you know, one of the warrior from Elbaf shows up and says, you know, for the pride of Elbaf, I will repay my debt by killing Doflamingo.
And then Elizabello and Dagma show up and say, like, well, we were friends with King Riku, so we're going to kill Doflamingo.
I also like how Dagma had to be convinced of this by his king, so he has the lumps on his head, and he's like, yeah, we have absolutely no interest in that bounty.
And then, like, all the other uninteresting characters that we don't care about also say they want to kill Doflamingo.
You don't want to talk about how the, like, you know, terrorist stereotypes are, you know, divinely inspired by God?
Yeah, they're all repaying God.
Yeah.
And some have other motivations, and... Like, some just want to kick Doflamingo's ass, some want to repay their debts, some want popularity.
So Zora's just going to like, how about you guys cover our back and we'll take care of it? And they're like, no, we're going to take care of Doflamingo.
And so then they get angry that, like, you know, they're going to fight Luffy for the chance to kill Doflamingo.
I love Law in this spread of everyone yelling about killing Doflamingo.
He's like, what the hell is going on?
So everyone's shouting their reasons. Don Chinjiao says right and wrong. Cavendish says popularity. The warrior says pride. The king says for King Riku. The terrorists say for God.
Yeah. He was from a neighboring kingdom, recall.
Yeah, they were friends.
Well, they were the ones who came here because they also want to destroy the factory to get rid of the weapons that are, you know.
So basically, this is the big payoff for the months and months of terrible Colosseum stuff.
And I have to admit, it's kind of great.
It's a pretty good payoff. I'm not sure I would have taken that exchange, but...
But I do love how they're banded together in their one goal and yelling at one another over it.
Yeah. And so out of nowhere, Luffy sees a bull, and it turns out to be Usi.
Well, first off, there's all of the, like, you know, other people who are ungrateful about the fact that, you know...
God Usopp.
God Usopp saved them, and so all of the other Colosseum guys just, like, you know, take them out.
They're doing a holy crusade.
The people without names who are just basically jobbers.
Yeah.
So yeah, then he sees Moosey.
And Moosey recognizes Luffy.
Yeah. And he's all happy.
Yep.
And then, meanwhile, back at Pika, they see something in the distance. It's the shape of a human. No, it's a cow.
It's the Straw Hats. The three from before. And
no,
then,
wait,
you know,
four,
the
five, six, seven. They won't stop coming, and it cuts back to just... Luffy and this makeshift crazy army.
Luffy on top of Usi, no less.
Yes, and I love my favorite thing is Law just lying down, thrown over the back of Usi.
I love how helpless he is with his handcuffs on.
Yes.
You figure somebody there who does not have devil fruit powers would just go ahead, like, and take that off.
Cavendish is right there.
They have to have the key, right?
Can't they cut it?
I don't think it can be cut. I'm not sure.
It's Sea Stone.
I would think Zoro could cut it. But
yeah.
I think we had this conversation.
We have never seen somebody cut Sea Stone yet.
Yeah, I mean, Smoker even has a sword made out of it, so...
The jute thing. Oh, although, actually, didn't that break, actually, now that I'm thinking back?
Did it? Maybe it did.
In Marine Ford, I think it did.
Okay, so it can be broken.
Yeah.
So, Pika does not think this is a super huge deal and reaches down for this army. And,
Elizabella.
Don Chinjiao and... The king.
Isabella.
Decide they're going to use their major attacks and break Pika's hand.
And then the last panel is Luffy yelling at everyone to quit following him.
Yeah. And they're like, screw you, savior bastard.
Yeah.
So we didn't mention this earlier, but they name drop Oars earlier in the chapter.
Yeah, that Pika is much bigger than Oars was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I had to go back and check because I didn't remember... I remembered Oars being super huge, but apparently he's just like a really big giant.
He's not
bigger
that
than
big.
Any giant.
He's bigger than a giant, but he's still just like 10 stories tall or something. Meanwhile, Pika's like 40 stories tall.
Yeah, if you remember the whole, like, what's it called? When Moria was inside of...
Yeah, he was in his chest. Remember, like, when the curtain was open and he was just sitting there? And Moria was sort of big.
All right. Like, I, for some reason, I remembered him being as tall as Pika, but
yeah,
I guess
no.
Not.
Pika's probably about the same size as what's his face, the guy in Blackbeard's crew.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Sengoku when he turns into his giant gold afro form.
No, he's probably about the same size as. Well, yeah, no, that's kind of close.
Got,
yeah.
He got pretty big, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah,
he did.
the guy in Blackbeard's crew is super big too.
Yeah.
I forgot about that guy. the giant face.
He like just walks along the bottom of the ocean, and the other people just like kind of sit on top of him.
Yeah. Oh, this was an amazing chapter.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not.
I am loving this arc.
I will say my only real disappointment with this is last chapter ended with Zoro and Fujitora fighting, and this chapter like it just they just run.
Yeah, they ran away.
Yeah.
Run away.
Like I would have liked to have seen more of that. Mostly because I haven't seen Doro do much in, since the time skip. Like, he intimidated Harpy Monet.
Yeah.
And then cut her in half. Or something. I don't remember
San
how that
Juan. That's the name of the guy on Blackbeard's crew. San Juan Wolf.
Where did Cavendish get a horse?
He always has a horse.
He found it someplace.
It was a toy horse.
He pulls it out.
He's a prince. Yeah. He's got to have a white horse.
So I'm betting it's going to be everybody except Luffy's crew against Pika.
I'd be okay with that.
Because I'm wondering, how do they thin these numbers just to get back down to Luffy for the Doflamingo fight?
And then it's going to be like Luffy, Usopp, and Zoro going on ahead. And Law, I guess.
And Law. But Law's not going to do anything. He's just going to be dragged along.
He's going to do something at the very end, I'm sure. Like, they'll get close enough to Doflamingo for him to get the keys.
Yeah, good chapter.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Last but not least,
Choki Akinosama, which had an amazing cover image.
Yeah. We mentioned it last week, but.
Yeah, but it is just great.
Megumi with a chain wrapped around her arm is pretty amazing.
It's everyone is a punk, except Ryo looks no different.
Actually, most of them look no different.
I mean, even attitude wise, it looks like this could be just Ryo and everybody else anyway.
You just like. Airbrush out the brass knuckles and put like a whisk in his hand, and he looks exactly the same.
Yeah, what's the name of the Italian guy?
Italian guy.
Yeah, he looks like he's like, I don't know, a loan shark coming to collect, sort of.
He has the Guido look.
He's got the open shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that Indian guy just has a butterfly knife, or Indonesian
guy.
He's
like, I will cut you.
Except he's not Indonesian, he's Japanese. Just happens to be really tan.
Yeah. White hair. Because anime.
Yep.
Yes.
So Megumi's tasting her thing and thinking back to what she said to Ryo.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, the judges appear behind her.
Because they
in a kind of creepy way.
They're
like, hey, what you doing over here? What you cooking?
It seems a little pervy.
Well, they say that one of the things about Miso is that... I'm sorry, is it miso or ramen that they're making?
Ramen.
One of the things about ramen is that you get to watch the person make it. So they saddle up to her like food preparation area and like put their hands all over it. Hang out there.
You know, take a look. It's like, oh wow, you know, this soup looks perfect.
So Megumi's cheer team points out that like, hey, you're kind of putting extra pressure on her for no reason.
But it's okay because she's handling it.
Yeah.
And the judges seem, you know, super, you know, interested in that sort of stuff, and so it's going well for her.
Meanwhile, Ryo is doing aggressive shit.
Yeah. He is straining like, the most aggressive I've ever seen someone strain something.
It's like just splattering the broth everywhere. Or the water, I guess, because he was just boiling the noodles, but yeah.
Everyone's remarking how ridiculously intense it is.
And he's and then, rust I love it. Into his ramen.
I love how he's like, there's that action shot of him like straining it, and then like next one is like him calmly pouring the noodles out.
I just picture the light Yagami eating potato chips thing with Ryo all the time.
Which, I mean, you gotta do that, I guess, to keep it interesting.
It's so intense.
But he's putting rusk, which I don't know what that is, into the soup.
Which is, it's normally used as a seasoning, I think, as opposed to having it all in one block.
Rusk is a dry, hard bread biscuit. It's twice baked. So it's like a super crispy.
Yeah,
it's basically like a big crouton.
That is then. Yeah.
So now he's put it all into a bowl and is serving it.
Hey, he's going first.
Gasp. They're playing with my expectations.
Yep, and so they start eating it.
Soup de poisson ramen. Fish soup.
And the old guy tasted it.
Of violence. It's like knocking them out with the intensity of its
food. Yeah. So the long and short of this is that Ryo's food is not subtle.
Yeah.
It is violently aggressive.
It's
super powerful. It is overwhelming.
So basically, it represents his personality pretty well.
Alice explains that he smashed up the shells and put like little sprinkles of them on the bread because the shells contain a lot of the flavor enzyme.
By the way, Alice is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to think that she left and just like walked back in to say this and then left again.
Because I mean, she wasn't on panel after the Rio story that she was telling. So the other judge tries it and he really likes it. And it's so, they compare it to a fist fight, and it's so aggressive and violent that the old man, when he tries it, is forced to strip.
Yeah. He seems to strip without unfolding his arms somehow.
Yeah.
It's like he blew his clothes off.
Yeah. He blew him away.
Yep. And then they point out that like when they were watching Megumi was when he was being all this aggressive and amazing.
The audience is also, the scouts are starting to get excited at Rio, saying like they didn't think much of him because he was Alice's aide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they start to send their scouts out to find more about him.
Yeah, and they also note like he was, you know, the way he did his cooking was also, you know, good because they saw that things were swinging towards Megumi and he stole their attention back.
Yeah.
So they look at Megumi.
He was giving them dinner and a show.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
So they look at Megumi, who they notice is very calmly still cooking, which kind of seems like bullshit to me.
They're like of all people.
No, I mean like that Rio had to go, but Megumi gets to use his time to still keep cooking.
I think it's like however long you want to take.
It's when the dishes are done.
I assume there was a time limit.
Nah, I think there is,
it's
but
it's not,
you know,
Iron
like,
Chef.
Like if you finish early or something, like it's not like the other person has to stop cooking halfway through their food.
I guess that makes sense. So she's still being calm, and they point out that she's basically like a Soma. Just focusing on the food.
And the chapter ends as she's serving it.
So my guess is it's going to be really good, but they like Rio's better.
I honestly have no idea which
one
of them
is going to
end up winning at this point.
Or they're going to, like, I'm guessing going to be split. How many judges are there?
Five.
So it's going to be
3-2.
Yeah.
Although at this point, it's never been like voting or anything like that. It's always been the old guy. He's the one who writes the results.
There's going to be two that like Rio's, two that like Megumi's, and his final thing is going to be like, in the end, I think his dish was better.
For these reasons that seem reasonable.
Yeah. But like, you're still really great, and, you know.
Okay, let's put money on the table. Great. Who do you think wins?
Rio.
Imran?
Rio.
Megumi.
Really?
Yeah.
Because she's going second?
Yeah, well, no, not just because of that. I've been saying she might win the whole time. But
I think it would be a really good plot twist.
I think go ahead.
It's obvious that they're setting up Rio for the win.
Yeah, I think she's going to win, and it's going to be like, oh, I grew so much, and then she's just going to get fucking bodied by the giant guy. Like, not
well,
even...
No, she fights Soma next.
Does she?
The winner of this one goes up against Soma, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll see.
Her going against him would be pretty interesting, because, you know, they made that statement like, oh, she's so much like Soma now.
And just imagine they can do like the I won't hold back thing.
And it turns out she's been the protagonist all along and she beats Soma.
Thematically, I think it would be weird because two quote unquote good guys winning and two bad guys losing right after each other and like from the same group. Would be like that removes a lot of tension.
Still just gonna go wild card, Megumi wins.
It would be very brave if they did that.
I'm not gonna be here next week for to have to eat crow if I'm wrong. So
we'll bring it up.
We'll bring it back.
I saw a picture from next week's chapter. It's gonna
really?
It's gonna be amazing.
Is it Megumi winning? Because if so, then I'm not sure
it was a reaction shot.
I know you did show me the cover for next week's chapter.
That actually wasn't the cover.
Oh, was it? It was just fan art?
No. Remember how I just said I saw a reaction?
Oh, that was a reaction. So, okay. Well, so we'll get to that when we see it, but it is pretty
amazing. I fed you that good joke, so.
All right, so. Yeah, I'm sticking with Rio.
Okay.
I'm with you, Imran.
Megumi.
Okay. So, I guess let's wrap?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there was one other housekeeping thing that I had forgot. So, World Trigger apparently has some big announcement next week. It's getting a color page specifically for it.
I bet it's going to get, like, a drama CD or something. Maybe a game. I could see them doing a video game.
I could see a game, yeah.
Like a
video game. It's not a front cover page, but it is a center color.
Yeah, I bet it's just going to be, like, a tactics game on the 3DS or the Vita or something.
I could see that being really good.
Well, if it was on the Vita, it would have to be, like, a dating sim.
Didn't they announce an Isekoi game?
For Vita.
Yeah.
Showed you pictures.
I remember hearing rumors about that.
I showed you pictures and said I might have to buy a Vita.
Is it like you're not Raku, or?
I don't know, but Tsugumi's in a nighty on the screen, so there's that.
And that's all that matters, right?
They had to have planned that once Nisekoi got its anime, like, started development of that.
Yeah. But, for anybody who hasn't still been reading that, this week's chapter of World Trigger was freaking awesome.
Yeah, for once, like, it's starting to pick up pace again.
Yeah, it's payoff. Now, I will also say that, like, I had a moment of, oh, yeah, that's who that person with the short spiky hair is, because, you know, they referenced something earlier in the manga, and I didn't remember that that character was that person.
Yeah, they keep introducing new people, and it's like, I don't know if I'm supposed to know you.
So yeah. I have this problem now where if I want to go back and watch or read World Trigger, it makes more sense for me to use a manga aggregate site than the Shonen Jump I pay for, because catching up on anything in Shonen Jump Alpha is impossible.
Yeah, because you have to go into the specific magazine.
Yeah.
It is quite annoying.
So, maybe I'll do that, but it's super weird that, like, even though I still pay for it, the better option is still manga aggregate sites.
Well.
Yeah.
Send an email to Shonen Jump. There you go, right? I'm sure that they'll appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Let's wrap up.
Right. Sounds good. I'm gonna be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mike is going somewhere.
I have repeatedly busy Thursdays.
Repeatedly busy Thursdays.
Yes. I have a
lot. It sounds very untoward and suspicious, but
I have, you know, let's say, business to take care of.
It's business time.
Yeah. Dad, Mr. Burns can't see you winking over the phone. So this has been your Friday, May 23rd Jump Cast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next week.
I won't. This week, Tsugumi finds something in the foyer.
They haven't done that in a while, like at least 5 weeks.
Because that's such a long time.
Yes.
It's a steak that gives you penis roses for hands.